And we welcome you to the Tuesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I have not been this excited about a morning show in quite some time, and I mean that really sincerely. We're going to be introducing you this morning to an extraordinary young man from Kenosha, who maybe you've already heard something about. His name is Joseph White, and he is now a three-time national champion in track and field, a proud graduate of Indian Trails High School and Academy, and now a nursing student at Carthage, and one of the finest track and field athletes that Carthage has ever had in its long and illustrious history in the sport. Joseph White is with us to talk about his experience out on the field as an extraordinarily gifted and skilled thrower. So in the shot put and the weight throw, Joseph White has done some amazing things, and that is due at least in part to the great coaching that he has received first at Indian Trails and now at Carthage from head track and field coach Josh Henry, and also Greg Raimondi, who is the director of strength and conditioning and an assistant to Josh Henry, working specifically with the throwers on the team. And also with us in the studio today is Seth Weidman, who's been with us before on a couple of occasions on the morning show. He is assistant athletic director at Carthage, head swimming and diving coach. And I'm so glad to have all four of you here in the studios for this conversation. We welcome you to the morning show.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah.
Good to have all of you here. Seth, you reached out to me, and I was so glad that you did. Maybe just say a word, first of all, about the place of athletics at a place like Carthage and what it means when you have a team and also particular athletes that achieve this kind of incredible success.
Yeah, it's kind of the dream at our level is to have student athletes who want to further their careers in both fields, right? So really have athletics be a part of their experience at college, but not be sort of the full-time job that runs things in their lives. I think Joseph the perfect example for that. Greg and Josh and I have all had athletes like that over the years who, they want the small school environment. Academics is paramount and is the most important thing in their lives and for their future. But athletics is this really additive thing that just like you see in music and the arts, it's this co-curricular activity. And when you can have a student athlete who takes it to the kinds of levels that Joseph has and that we've had so many times at Carthage and have a lot of athletes like that right now and teams, it just really, it kind of brings the whole thing together and that whole ethos of Division III athletics that Carthage represents really well.
Most of our listeners probably know what the term Division III means, but maybe just for the sake of any that don't, clarify exactly what that means and particularly the impact of that designation when it comes to athletics.
Sure. So it starts with no athletic scholarships. So in the way that Division I and to some extent Division II, a little bit of a lesser extent Division II, you can have purely athletic scholarships. So just your athletic prowess can dictate how much scholarship and financial aid you get. That doesn't happen in Division III athletics. And so that's number one that kind of brings around that thought of doing it for the love of the sport. Mm. So it's sort of that purest form people talk about. But also you're a little more limited with days or weeks of the year, of the academic year, that you can train and compete. Oh. And so, you have most sports have historically around 19 weeks of an academic year in order to train and compete at the Division III level. And outside of that, you don't have any opportunity to do organized training and practices and team functions. At the Division I level, and again, to some extent, Division II, you can have those out-of-season hours and days and weeks. And so Division III really tries to strike that balance by putting those guardrails on so that you kind of have to get involved in other things at your college.
Right. It's probably a healthier way to go in many, many cases. Mm-hmm. And what's really cool, of course, about the story of Joseph White and others at Carthage is that even within the constraints of Division III, to achieve this kind of excellence is just really, really something.
Exactly.
Before we meet Joseph, I want to make quick acquaintance with your two colleagues that are also with us in the studio. First of all, Josh Henry, who is head track and field and cross-country coach at Carthage for about 10 years or so, I think.
Yeah, this is my, I'm on year 9 right now, so.
Very good. So tell us a little bit about where you come from originally and what pulled you in specifically to the into the area of track and field.
Sure, yeah. I grew up in Central New York, kind of born and raised in that area. Went to college out there at SUNY Cortland, another Division III school, state school out in New York. And just kind of fell in love with running, kind of did every sport as a kid, and then track seemed to be the one that stuck. I think the biggest thing I liked is it was so black and white. There wasn't, you know, trying out to figure out, like, you know, he looks like a good point guard, or he looks like he could be a quarterback. It's, you know, you ran a time, you threw a distance, you jumped a mark. And I love that about the sport. And so that's kind of what stuck with me. And it was a sport I kind of saw you get out of it, what you put into it. And so it took me into college. I ran in college, had a great experience. And then kind of as I was getting my master's, my college coach said, hey, like, you're still here, so, you know, why don't you help out a little? And that was, like, the first job I had where I wasn't, like, looking at the clock kind of thing and trying to wonder when I was going to be done, or trying to calculate what my paycheck would be after this shift or whatever. So it was kind of the thing that made me say, hey, maybe this is something I should really jump into. So I stayed at Cortland for 5 years, kind of raising my responsibilities, and then eventually got an opportunity. One of actually our assistants at Cortland took the assistant sprints job at Carthage, kind of just randomly, just worked out that way. And right when he got here in the summer, Brett Witt, the former cross country and track and field coach, took a job up at Stevens Point at his alma mater. So I got a text saying, hey, would you be interested in a head coaching position? And I kind of looked up Carthage a little bit and did a quick kind of a quick interview process with Dr. Bond, kind of ran that, and he was an awesome guy. He was somebody I really wanted to work under, because he you could tell how competitive he was and how passionate he was about Carthage, and then also just stepping foot on campus and seeing the facilities, seeing, you know, the lake, learning more about the college itself. And I think it's really important to me to recruit at a place where you know, they're getting a great education, being set up well for their futures. So it all kind of came together, and, you know, I kind of came out here on a little bit of a whim, and I've loved every minute of it. It's been a great opportunity.
Yeah, you just partially answered my next question. I was going to ask you what it felt like to step out of that alma mater where you were, I mean, yourself a student, and then on the coaching staff there. So this was, I should think, kind of a big step to kind of leave that safe and familiar environment for something utterly unknown to you. But it sounds like it helped that there was somebody here that you already knew, and some of the people you met. Maybe it wasn't as scary as we might otherwise assume.
Yeah, it was a nice bridge to have Phil Wiltshire out here, knowing somebody right off the bat. But he only lasted a year here before he actually went back to Cortland. So he brought me out and then left me. It kind of made it a little bit more familiar. But really, I kind of looked at myself in the mirror and said, if I really want to do this coaching thing, you don't get head coaching opportunities just falling into your lap too often. So I wanted to take the leap, and I figured if it didn't work out, it would be, you know, a year of my life where I learned something, experienced something new. And it's just been a great move. So.
Right, and of course, the team has enjoyed tremendous success under your leadership, which is terrific. Next to you is Greg Raimondi, and himself a Carthage grad, actually, from 2012. Tell us, first of all, what kind of drew you to the area of track and field and throwing, especially, where you really enjoyed some great success yourself.
Yeah, I think when I was in high school, I played football, and I just decided to do something in the off season. And I wasn't a fan of running, so I decided, I saw people throwing and not having to do much. So I was like, I think that seems more fitting for me. And then I kind of just took to it and had more enjoyment doing that than I did with any part of running or any other of the spring sports that I had tried out as a freshman in high school. And so it kind of just stuck with me through that point. And then my time going to college, I was actually recruited to go to Carthage for football initially. Three of my five high school coaches actually played under Tim Rux, who's a former head coach. And so I kind of got recruited through there. And I think track was just a, like, I kind of want to do that in high school. And I also did it and kind of like was a walk-on for the team. And that ended up obviously working out in my favor. I quit football after 2 years and then just focused on track. And obviously now I'm back coaching there. So it's been an exciting turnaround to see it kind of come full circle.
I want to make sure I ask you this. I noticed that you hold, as far as I know, you still hold the school record in the hammer?
Nope, that was broken last year by one of our athletes, unfortunately. So I had it for 10 years, and then Matt Ozzie, who was a senior for us last year, he was a national runner-up in the hammer. He broke it just before the national meet. So I got to hand it off to one of my athletes, which was exciting.
Well, someone's got to update the your biography on the website, but yeah. It's a sad moment. Yeah. But it got me thinking. I mean, as I was thinking in relationship with Joseph White, whom we're about to meet, that it must feel kind of strange in that situation where you are in a sense coaching somebody to break your own record. I mean, it's probably something. If you're doing your job well and they're doing their job well, it's going to happen, but too bad.
I mean, it was a very bittersweet moment. I obviously won. Like, it's awesome to have your name in the record books, but it felt more it was a way better experience for me to have someone break that record, and it's exciting to continue to have athletes, and I think that, unfortunately for Matt's record, I don't think it'll last much longer than this outdoor season with Joseph, but at least he had it for a year, and so it's been exciting to, like, to get someone to that level. And I know the hard work that goes into it, so it was awesome to see his. I think that's the first time I've actually seen Matt smile during his 4 years as a student at Carthage. And so it was awesome to like to see him break it.
Fantastic. It's interesting. You said something at the outset about, you know, you wanted to do something in the off season from football, but you didn't want to run, and so you looked at the throwers, and you kind of almost made it sound like at a glance it looked easier than being a runner on the team. And, of course, once you get into it, you realize there's nothing easy about it.
Yeah. It's just something that was more of an interest to me. It's probably a lot harder to be a runner and, like, see that progress kind of over the years. That's just more something that is a more innate ability that it's a bit harder to train worth throwing. It's a lot more of a technical event, and you can kind of just see the progress a little bit easier from, like, my sense of, like what you're improving on. We're running. It's more of a long-term game that you have to kind of go through to, like, to see the end result.
Right, yeah. And in the case, in the throws, boy, there can be some breakthroughs that occur in exciting fashion. Well, the young man sitting in the studios with us is certainly an exemplary example of that. Joseph White, you're a junior at Carthage?
Yes, correct.
Nursing student,
right.
Graduate of Indian Trails High School, and as we will soon explore, now a three-time national champion, and most recently won two national titles at the most recent NCAA Indoor Track and Field Championships down in Birmingham, Alabama. Ahead of all that, though, we want to find out a little bit more about you and about your life growing up here in Kenosha. First of all, tell us a little bit about the family in which you grew up, and did you have folks that kind of directed you towards all this athletic stuff, or is that something you just kind of found on your own?
Right. So my parents kind of encouraged us to find the things that we're interested in our own, and they always, like, supported us through it. So I did a couple different sports, but track and field was the one that I found the most successful in, especially in college. In high school and middle school, I did basketball and track, and in high school I did cross country for a little bit too, which is surprising, but yeah.
Well, to look at you, it is extremely surprising, but right. But you undertook it for a really good reason.
Right. I wanted to stay in better shape because, again, in my mind, I wanted to be a runner for track freshman and sophomore year of high school. And also, I was on the basketball team, so I wanted to keep my stamina up there. So I thought cross country would be a good way for me to just build on that and just become better athletically. And my senior year, I did it just because I enjoyed the group of people we had on our cross-country team. So I just came back for my senior year and just had a little bit of fun with it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Speaking of fun, you mentioned before we went on the air that in addition to all this spectacular success you've had as an athlete, you're also a bassoonist.
Was.
Tell us.
Yeah,
all right. tell us when bassoon entered your life.
Bassoon entered my life in elementary school, surprisingly. My mom had me pick it up because she was thinking in the mindset of scholarships and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun to play, but I definitely didn't practice it enough. Mm. So I dropped it before college because I wasn't good enough to like get a scholarship for it. And yeah, I just wasn't as passionate about it, but I definitely had fun in it. Yeah.
It's a challenging instrument. Right. So anybody who plays the bassoon even decently is a pretty darn good musician. So let's talk a little bit about this whole matter of getting into the throw events. And I'd be interested to hear from Greg as well about this, because that was obviously his area of interest too. But when you first started getting into track and field, did you find yourself pulled pretty quickly to the throw events specifically?
Definitely not. Middle school, I saw a little bit of it, but we didn't really have a throws facility at our middle school. There's just like a couple of guys on the sidewalk throwing this metal ball into the grass. And I wasn't really sure what was going on with that. Like, I think I picked it up maybe once, but my freshman year of high school, I was still trying to be a sprinter. I was not that fast. But my sophomore year, my coaches kind of like saw the potential of me to be a thrower, because like I was kind of bigger and had a wingspan that was pretty good. So I got into throwing that way and fell in love with it ever since.
Wow. So Greg, is that kind of the typical way it goes in terms of a guy on the track and field who finds themselves pulled in this direction?
Yeah, especially at the high school level, like if you're usually a bigger individual that isn't the best sprinter or jumper, they'll usually probably move you to throws at the high school level just to give that a try and see what you can do from there.
Right. So it's like if you're not so good at this other thing, or at least naturally don't have a lot of natural affinity for it, maybe there's this other thing.
Yeah.
You know, I never really stopped to think about it, but they really are absolutely almost opposite endeavors, aren't there? I mean, they really have very little to do each other, and it's almost interesting that they're grouped together at all. track and field.
Yeah. It's all just thrown. I mean, it's great because there's so many individual events that a lot of people can pick up and have that ability of, if you're just a jumper or if you're just a sprinter or if you want to do multiple, it's nice to have the ability to kind of fluctuate and like use your talents at any part to help the team. And whether it's a high school team or a college team, you have that ability to kind of help out like where your area sees fit.
Right. Josh Henry, head track and field coach, you oversee everything. So from your vantage point, how do all the pieces fit together, and how often, if ever, do you have athletes who are actually skilled in both?
Yeah, I mean, we just try to find kind of what everybody has that niche for, and in some kids it's going to be very specific, and other kids can bring a little bit more diversity to the team. There's even the multi-events, so we've got kids that do indoors, it's the heptathlon, so it's 7 events, outdoors it's the decathlon, so it's 10. Mm. So they're throwing, running distance, jumping in the field, sprinting, hurdling. So there's some kids that can kind of bridge that gap and do a whole bunch of things. And if they're really good at some individual events, you know, they might also be point scorers in that individual event on top of the multi. But usually people kind of find their niche somewhere. And for us, when we're recruiting, we just want to bring in people that are kind of passionate about the sport first and foremost. And then once you find that, those are the people that are going to get to Carthage and kind of go like all in on that aspect of their sport and want to, you know, hone their skills. And I think that's the fun thing talking about Division III earlier is, you know, we're not putting scholarship money on people, so we can kind of take flyers and, you know, if you're passionate about this thing, you show up and we see what you can do. And we get a lot of really cool stories of people that weren't there on, you know, an all-star in high school, and maybe they were just in the wrong event, or maybe they just weren't fully developed yet and they just needed a couple of years. And we get these people that break through and do incredible things. And I'm sure, like, even a guy like Joseph, who was a good Division III recruit and we're super excited to have him, but the success he's having now, it doesn't contrast with where he was at in high school. So for somebody just to kind of go all in and just work really hard for the last 3 years, you can have these breakthrough moments that are really special.
Super. By the way, Joseph, I realize I haven't asked you yet what in particular drew you to choose Carthage. You probably could have chosen all kinds of different places to go.
The biggest thing was the class sizes. I like the way that you can interact with like the professors and not feel like just another number in the classroom. I like the Lakeside campus and the fact that it wasn't too far from home. And the nursing program as well, that's what really drew me in.
Right. And I wanted to ask you about that, and let's just take a second right now. Tell us about your interest in nursing, and did anything in particular spark that for you?
I've always been like interested in the medical field and just like helping people in that sense. In high school, I was more so in the mindset that I wanted to be a biomedical engineer, but I took pre-calc, and I learned that I did not want to be a biomedical engineer.
Changed your mind real quick.
Yeah, so I shifted gears a little bit and went into the mindset of nursing, and I applied for Carthage's nursing program, and I got in. And it's definitely has its stress along the process and like along the way with the classes and stuff like that, but I'm excited to see what I can do and how I can serve people in the nursing field.
Very good. For those of you just joining us, we're speaking today on the morning show with, first and foremost, Joseph White, who is a junior nursing major at Carthage College, a proud graduate also of Indian Trails High School and Academy right here in Kenosha, son of Jennifer and Milton White, and a three-time national champion in track and field. He scored actually two national titles at the most recent NCAA indoor championships down in Birmingham, Alabama. We're going to be talking about that very, very shortly. With him, his two proud coaches, Josh Henry, head track and field coach at Carthage, and Greg Raimondi, an assistant track and field coach who works specifically with throwers like Joseph. Also with us and helping to engineer all this, Seth Weidman, assistant athletic director at Carthage, where he is also the much decorated head swimming and diving coach. So, Greg and Josh, chart for us so we don't have Joseph crowing about his own successes. Chart for us what you've already just touched on, which is some really spectacular growth in Joseph's skills as a thrower in his time at Carthage. Just give us some sense of just what that ascent has been like.
Out of high school, but he was a good recruit for us. And so it was like he had some ability, like just having him on campus, just his build is just something that you could see like develop over the years, like being coaching now for a little over 10 years. It was just a build that you're like, well, he's got really long arms and has a frame that can kind of my build into, and was kind of underdeveloped in that high school realm in terms of like not being in the weight room and just having the ability to do other sports. And so if we honed in on track, I think there was something there. And I think just over the years, as we kind of saw that ability, it kind of grew into like there was little glimmers of hope through his freshman year of like, I think he could be really good at the sport. And then as he kind of developed and got a little more technical and got in that weight room, as you get to that sophomore year, it was just like, I think he could do something really special here. And as it continues to grow, it's almost every practice, I'm just like, I just don't know how you're doing these things. It just continues to impress us every time that we're out there or in a meet. And just I think this year shows like his true potential of he's able to throw like the NCAA record for Division III and just have that kind of growth and ability from last year where you're still able to improve 2 meters even though you're already in like the top 20 in Division III. Like he's able to continue to take that to the next level, and I don't think he's done growing in the sport and has so much more potential. And every like day that we get to practice, he's just so focused on getting to that next level. It just continues to get better every time that we're out there.
Superb. Josh, you want to add anything?
Yeah, I just think Greg hit on it really well. I think from my perspective, it's just been interesting because Greg does everything with the throws. And, you know, as the head coach, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, how people are doing, how they're developing. And but my vantage point with Joseph has mostly been we'd talk about, wow, we think he can be really good and accomplish X, Y, and Z down the road. And we kind of have a timeline in our mind of, like, what we thought Joseph could do, and then we found out that Joseph has his own timeline and it's much faster than ours, which has been a lot of fun.
So full of surprises and very pleasant surprises.
Yes.
So if I was going to look at a chart of Joseph's progress, I mean, numerically, I mean, like when he was going to track meets as a freshman, was he finishing third or fifth or 12th or failing to qualify for the final round? I mean, what are we talking about early on versus now all of these one first place finish after another over these last couple of seasons?
So I think in in two of those events, in the shot and hammer, just because the hammer's new at the college level, and then the shot put is something that at the high school realm, you throw a 12-pound ball, where in college you throw a 16, so that transition's a little bit difficult. Mm. I think those he struggled with at first just to get like the technical aspect down, and we're still working on that. His best event was the discus his freshman year, and so that's what he threw the best in high school, and he was able to qualify for the outdoor national championships as a freshman in the discus, and then kind of everything else we just built into that progress, and he's just taken it up a level each year, and it's been exciting to watch that progress. And kind of like Josh said, it's we have this goal in mind that when we have our beginning of the season talk, and then every time we have to have another meeting of, okay, now, like, what's the next step to get to where we want to be right. again? And so it's been exciting to watch that journey, and it's been awesome to, like, to see his progress of, like, he wants to be at the national meet, and he wants to have a successful national meet, and I think that getting there more often has helped him to shape of like how he needs to do that and what he needs to do to make sure that he's successful there.
Yeah. How's it felt on the inside? I mean, it's been exciting enough for your coaches to watch your development. Of course, they had a really direct hand in it. But for you, what has it felt like? And for you, what do you think has been the most important kind of driving force? What's made the difference between the thrower you were 3 years ago and the thrower you are now?
Right. So, I think, like, in high school and freshman year of college, I think I was doing it more so just to have fun. Mm. And it's still fun now, but I just became more mindful of, like, what I was doing and became, like, more intentional with everything I was doing and having a mindset of making sure I was doing what I needed to do to make sure I can succeed on the big stage and stuff like that. And I think the biggest thing that has led to my improvement is getting in the weight room, because as he touched on before, in high school and before that, I didn't really lift at all. In track for high school and basketball and stuff like that, we did minor stuff, but it wasn't anything like compared to the heavy lifting and like Olympic lifts and stuff that we do now in college. Yeah.
Greg, you're the director of strength and conditioning. Can you give us some sense of what is involved in this specific aspect of it? I mean, when you have an athlete like Joseph White and want him physically built up to be a more imposing specimen and really better equipped for these kind of events, what are you especially looking at or working on?
Yeah, so I think just over the years is just one being super technical in the main lifts in the weight room, so squat, bench, and then his Olympic lifts, just making sure that we're doing those right, so he's not getting injured, and then like those have the most carryover to the like true development of our sport, and kind of over those years, it's just been a slow process of like how high can we get those numbers. And again, it's very similar to throwing, where you see the concrete numbers and how you judge that kind of based off each time you're in the weight room. Like, you can improve by 5, 10 pounds, whether it's small gains. We're just trying to make that small improvement. And I think the same thing for him in the weight room. It's just, we try to set these goals, and he just keeps blowing them out of the water. So his development has been awesome in that. And we're just slowly trying to find what works for him to make sure he's peaking at the right times, and I think we're making that plan that makes sense, and just try to get that strength level to maintain throughout the entire season, which like for us is a very long season, so we're not trying to just bury him in the ground and get him sore for the whole 3 to 5 months of our season. We're just trying to find the right times that we're peaking for the most optimal meets, and then trying to just judge what works for him in the weight room as well.
Right. Yeah, that's true, because you can have too much of a good thing and leave an athlete injured or depleted or whatever. So this has to be part of a master plan too.
Yeah.
So we're talking about how many different events for Joseph? I mean, I don't mean just what he won the championships in, but shot put and discus
and hammer
and then the weight throw.
And weight, yeah. So four. Hammer and weight are very similar in terms of how we train them technically. So it'd be three. It's just the indoor version of the hammer would be the weight.
Right. So Joseph, take us in a typical practice. I was going to say rehearsal. I'm thinking music. In a typical practice, are you working on all of those events, or do you focus on one on a particular day? I mean, how have you spread your attention through those different four events that Greg was just talking about?
Yeah, so I try to balance it out pretty evenly through the week. But on a typical day, you would do two events. So now since we're outdoor, either hammer and disc or hammer shot, just like any variation like that. And so you just focus on those two events for the day, and then the next day you focus on the next two events that you want to focus on and just continue building there.
Very good. Is the javelin in that mix also?
It is. It is part of our throwing events, but it's trained very differently than the other three throwing events, and so more of our sprinters, jumpers, or our multis will usually do that as opposed to pure throwers.
Right. Of course, when we watch somebody throw the hammer, that's the thing with the big what do we want to call it? Pirouette, if you were a ballet dancer, but that big spinning action, yep, versus a shot where you're essentially, aren't you just more standing in place and just giving it a big heave, or am I not picturing that correctly?
You're also spinning through the ring as well and shot, just not as many times. So hammer it anywhere from 3 to 4 times, where shot is just one time through the ring, essentially just one spin through the ring. Same with discus.
And is that the rule, or is that just the way it works better?
You are allowed to do whatever you want in the ring. You just have to leave under control. So whatever you could fit in the ring that makes the most sense technically, then you're allowed to do that. But usually, obviously, with the throwing events being around for so long, the shot has it pretty narrowed down of that the rotation's usually the best, and how to get that done has been perfected over the years. So just trying to get that to look like how they would at the Olympic level or something like that.
Right, right. So Joseph, there is technique, of course, involved in this. What have been some of the technical aspects of these throws that have been maybe most challenging for you, and maybe most satisfying to master?
Yeah. So for shot and disc, there's a lot of technique involved with that too. But with my wingspan and the strength I've gained, I found that I can usually get away with a little more, I want to say. I could in some unconventional positions I would land in, I could find big throws still. But with the hammer throw, that's the one that I've struggled in the most, because if you really want to be good at that, it takes a lot of technique and usually a lot of speed too. So just getting the technique down for that has been the most challenging one so far.
And Greg, what are the challenges involved in coaching somebody when it comes to those kind of technical matters? I think a lot of us, watch this on TV, for instance. It's so hard for us to even discern what went just a little bit wrong in that particular throw versus what went really right that, allowed that to be a spectacular throw. And somehow you have to see that and figure out what little things or not so little things are going on.
Yeah. So normally at the root cause, there's usually a main problem that will cause most of the smaller problems to happen. So just trying to find that problem and then how to error correct it is usually the goal. And it's just finding those cues that work well for the athlete. So not every athlete will have the best ability to understand the cue that you're giving them. So trying to find the right one that makes sense, and have that be repeated on a daily basis. And it's been great because for the most part, Joseph has done a great job now of coaching himself to get his feelings right. And he understands the event, that we just have to communicate of I just need to do this. And then he's pretty much on his own. So it's been nice to, he's learned how to essentially coach himself into these positions, which has been awesome. It's just I'm there to make sure he's guiding himself in the right way, because there is a lot of things to correct, especially in the hammer throw. And so just find the right one that makes the most sense in the long term, and how to fix that first before we start fixing the minor things.
Yeah, good point. I like that makes a lot of sense. What about your fellow throwers, and what kind of a group are you, and to what extent is there significant interaction between you? When it comes to what's going right and what's going wrong, or does that complicate things, and do you all need to mostly be listening to Mr. Raimondi?
For the most part, everyone listens to our coach Greg, but we have another athlete on our team. His name is Lucas Leal, and from my experience, especially since freshman year, he's been very knowledgeable in the sport of throwing and lifting and stuff like that. So he's been a help and coaching on the side to different athletes and myself as well.
Very good. And I suppose that's something that you need to foster as well.
Yeah, it's been something that I'm trying to make sure that they're become essentially masters of the sport, just knowing how to correct the minor things. And when we like do go over film or just coaching, just explaining like what this feels like and what is the problem, so that, because I'm not going to be able to watch every throw when we're at practice or every time that they do something. So just having them have that ability just helps me to make sure that they're on the right page without me having to watch every single throw of every single person on the team.
Absolutely. Joseph, talk about your competitors, and I don't mean, I mean in a sense even your own teammates are at times are your own competitors too, of course, but I'm thinking about competitors from other schools and so on. Typically, what is your relationship with them, and how does that aspect of all of this feel? I mean, being kind of a gladiator, you know, head to head with somebody else.
Yeah, for the most part, throwing has been a very individual sport for me. Like, I'm more focused on improving for myself, but again, like, the competitiveness is a lot of fun, and I don't really interact that much with like the other throwers from the other schools. Like, there'll be a couple where we talk during our meets and stuff like that, but yeah, our relationships usually exist within the meet and that's it. But there's just a lot of respect too. Like, yeah, there's just respect and
No, that's, I mean, and I think that's, I mean, I think that's one of the intriguing things about track is that, I mean, unlike a lot of other sports, it really does come down to the mantle of responsibility on your own shoulders. And that's probably an important thing for a lot of us to understand who aren't part of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been the hard, I mean, like, I think just seeing athletes develop, that's the, like, one thing that, especially in track, it's a team sport, but it's so individualized that the amount of effort you put in is going to show on your level, and it doesn't matter what the rest of your team does, but it's nice to have everyone to be on the same page where we have that team atmosphere of everyone's trying to do that same thing or have that same mentality.
Right, right. So, Josh, tell us about the first time that Joseph made it to the national championships, and tell us a little bit about how that first time went.
Yeah, so the first was his outdoor discus his freshman year, which we thought he might have a chance to make it, and he snuck in. And the first experience there, I think, was probably a lot like a lot of athletes' first experience at nationals, to where the goal is to get there, and you get there, and you kind of realize you didn't have a goal beyond getting there. So so you kind of feel like a fish out of water a little bit and kind of go through the motions. Nerves might get a little bit of the best of you, or you just might not do what – or have the same mindset going into that meet that you did to qualify for it. And like the, it just, the atmosphere feels very different, and you don't have your teammates around you. It's, you know, at that meet, I think Joseph was our only qualifier. So it's a very different atmosphere, very different experience. So to get through that, is important. And Joe, I think, had maybe one throw that was okay at that first national meet, and I think he fouled one, and the other one wasn't his best, and he's kind of laughing because I'm being kind. So that was his first experience, and then he followed that up in with the indoor championships, where he had a great season in 20, like I said, be 2022 now, and came in ranked top three in both shot and weight, I believe, and we had high expectations, and just, I think, the moment, he just wasn't quite ready for it, and probably definitely more mentally than physically. And I think the thing that has been incredible, because that's about a calendar year ago now, and I think the thing that has made Joseph really special is he could have gone home and been disappointed and kind of felt sorry for himself for a while, but, you know, he turned the page really quickly and used it to be motivation to be better, and look really internally of like, what do I need to do? And you hear him speak a lot, and a lot of it, it's really, what do I need to do to figure this out? And he turned that around to winning his first national title that spring, about, I guess it's probably about 3 months later.
Wow.
In the shot put, and then a calendar year later at this past indoor national championships, won the weight and the shot, which is hard to double. Because they are different events, you don't see a lot of people qualify for both, let alone excel in both. And then to do that in a calendar year, and to do it in the dominant fashion that he has, and to have set the national record in the weight throw as well, that rise has been incredible in that short amount of time.
Wow. So, Joseph, I'm sure you just love reliving that disappointing experience from, so that would be your sophomore year,
right? Yeah.
So at the risk of inflicting even a little more pain on you, it's just good for us to talk about it for a second or two at least.
Yeah.
Does everything Coach Henry has been saying make sense in terms of what that experience was like, and how did you rebound from that? I mean, because I think he's right. A lot of athletes wouldn't have. That would have been an occurrence that would have maybe derailed them or set them back.
Right.
It seemed to have done just the opposite for you.
Yeah. So I think the important thing is you can't forget about moments like that, because if you don't find ways to learn from it, there's a higher chance that can just happen again. So after the meet, my coach and I talked a lot about like what went wrong and like what we need to do to make sure we are better prepared for the next time we go to nationals. And we landed on it just being a mindset thing, like kind of what Josh talked about a little bit. So it was just getting that mindset strong and getting the mental where it needed to be.
Greg, you have anything to add about what, and I was very interested to know what you did in that moment of disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that is a hard moment just to see see someone that has like worked real hard to get to that point and just have a very disappointing meet on the biggest stage of the year. So it was very difficult to obviously like see that as a coach. And as we went through that, his warm-ups were great. Like, so like not to harp on it, but like he was ready for that meet in terms of probably the most physically he's been ready for that year. It was just how he went into that meet when the competition started. And so like knowing that, that's what we needed to change. And so we had a lot of talks going into the outdoor season of like how we need to mentally prepare, whether it's at a small meet or a big meet, and just getting that rehearsal down for his mental game, like when we like comes to competition. I think that's what he has changed over the last year. And it's not like he doesn't work harder. Like, he worked equally as hard as he did then. It's just how he approaches every competition and what he needs to focus on has changed, and that has moved his game up to an extraordinary level of the things that he's done this year.
Yeah, I guess part of it is finding a way to harness the intensity and the passion in a way so it doesn't get in your own way. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of endeavors, even music, where that can play a kind of an adversarial role in what's going on. And obviously, Joseph, you turned things around in an amazing way. As Coach Henry mentioned, you scored this double triumph at the most recent indoor championships in two distinctly different events, and so that makes it an even more impressive accomplishment. Were there any scares in Birmingham? I mean, or was it just an easy ride to that double-headed triumph?
It definitely wasn't an easy ride, because I still had in the back of my mind of like what happened last year. But for the most part, just competing and performing the way that I've done like throughout the whole season, I knew I was ready for big things. So there were some nerves going into the weekend, because obviously it's a very, very big meet. But when I got there on meet day for each day, I was just like, I felt very prepared and focused and ready to compete at the level I knew I could.
Greg, were there any moments of trepidation at all, or not really?
No. I thought that he was confident. He knew what he had to do to get the job done, and kind of those opening throws are the first throws that indicate what's going to happen. And I think that when he stepped in the ring, he had the ability to do something special, and I think he did that on his first throw and kind of just set the tone for him to kind of go after it the next couple. And I mean, like, to set a school record at the national meet was it's kind of awesome, especially on day two after kind of doing what he did in the weight throw. So it was awesome to see, and he was very well prepared for that championship.
Fantastic. So in some ways the biggest challenge is now, how do you follow that up? I mean, like, what do you do with a tremendous success like that? Because of course you're not done. At least I'm pretty sure you're not done.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm really curious to know kind of, it's one thing to build on a disappointment and to make it into a positive, which you obviously have done in spectacular fashion. How do you build on a success like this?
For me, it's just continuing to try to, like, chase improvement and, like, chase the PRs. So just continue to improve and throw it farther every time.
Yeah. I mean, we had a week off after the indoor national championships for Joseph, and I think by day four he was like, "Can I go out and throw already?" So I think he's mentally wanting to get ready for that next championship, and he's got some big goals outdoors. So it's just now just trying to refocus and like get back in the weight room and get back in the ring and just do those small things to make sure that we're ready when it comes to the time in May.
That's amazing. Coach Josh Henry, I want to give you a moment to mention a couple of other guys who are also at the national meet down in Birmingham. And it's just important to underscore that although Joseph White is obviously a splendid athlete in so many ways, that he is not the whole story of track and field at Carthage.
Yeah, I appreciate you pointing that out, too, just because, you know, a lot of times being it's such an individual sport that sometimes we get attracted to the individuals. And I am proud of the team as a whole, with the guys that were at Nationals, with the guys at our conference meet. It is truly a team effort and a team mentality through and through. And to have two guys also qualify this indoor was really impressive. Both of them did it the final week of the season, which is hard to do at that last opportunity. So to show up and to come through at those meets was special, and both of them did it in school record performances. Alex Jarvis, also another Indian Trail guy. So we've done well in Kenosha, and we talked about Matt earlier in the Hammer record. He's a St. Joe's guy. So we've done pretty well with our Kenosha kids. For Jarvis to do that and do that in what probably was his last attempt, last Carthage meet at Carthage as a jumper, being he's a senior, was a really cool moment for him. And then to get to the national meet was a huge accomplishment. And Chase also was a little banged up going into that final week, and was, I think, really mentally strong and driven to go out and have his best performance of the season to get there. So to have those two guys there with Joseph was something that I was really proud of as a head coach of the program, especially because we had a distance runner, a jumper, and a thrower there. So we really kind of represented each event group in the team. And, you know, myself, Coach Greg, and Coach Kale, we all had athletes that we were directly working with there. So to see each event group excelling at the highest level, it was really cool. And we hope it's not just a flash in the pan, but something we can continue to build on.
Absolutely. Well, what a splendid success story this is on so many different levels. And it's been great to kind of step into this story and learn more about all of this. And now we hope more successes are on the horizon in the outdoor season. Is it really different to do it outdoors versus indoors?
The outdoor events are a little bit different. So the Hammer, obviously, as Joseph said, is a bit more technical. So his strength won't play a huge part into it until we fix that technical part. And then the same thing with the discus. We just have to make sure that we're ready for those moments. And I think shot is just getting him, I think, mentally prepared to continue to try to repeat as an outdoor champion. And so that's just, he's in a good spot, obviously, after indoor. We just have to make sure that we're mentally ready and still slowly climbing to get ready for that championship.
Very good. Well, we're going to be following all of this with great interest. Joseph White, congrats on all the great success you've had so far, and congrats on the successes yet to come. And I really appreciate the opportunity to meet you and to hear more about your great story. Very, very best wishes to you.
Yeah, thank you. It was great being on.
Good to have also with us Josh Henry, a head track and field coach at Carthage, and Greg Raimondi, who works with the throwers, director of strength and conditioning, and also Seth Weidman, assistant athletic director at Carthage. Great to have all of you with us on the morning show today, and best wishes for future success.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
We have a clear, sunny day ahead of us today, and a high of 46 degrees. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine.